Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Sound from street demonstrations, pro-democracy in Yemen. And the protests in Yemen give Americans another country to get more familiar with, as many of us have learned so much about Tunisia in recent weeks. Yemen sits below Saudi Arabia on the southern tip of the Arabian Peninsula. It's one of the poorest nations in the Arab world. It's been in the news here in the last few years because the American-born radical Anwar al-Awlaki lives there, considered as dangerous today as Osama bin Laden for his writings that are believed to have helped inspire the Fort Hood shootings and other acts of terrorism and attempted terrorism. And there was that State Department cable revealed by WikiLeaks that showed Yemen's president, Ali Abdullah Saleh, took public responsibility for U.S. drone strikes there. Saleh is approaching 30 years in power. The country is also extremely fractious in various ways, with the North, the South, and the al-Qaeda bastion Southwest all in some form of alienation or rebellion from the central government. My next guest is a Yemeni journalist turned cyber activist, Waleed al-Sakaf. You can read his stuff at yemenportal.net, which is banned in Yemen, and an anti-censorship site called blocked.arabiaportal.net. He lives now in Sweden, where he is pursuing a doctorate. Waleed, thank you so much for coming on WNYC. Hello from New York.
My pleasure. Thank you.
First, tell us more about yourself. Where in Yemen are you from, and how do you see your role today?
Well, you can say I'm born from a journalism family. My father was the founder of Yemen Times, the popular national newspaper, and he was quite oppositional and confrontational when it comes to corruption, mismanagement, and so, although it was an independent newspaper. And he died in a mysterious traffic accident. And since then, that was in 99. Since then, I've been into media and also in on the Internet.
And if we have Yemeni-American listeners, you can speak out on our show today, too. We would love to hear your perspective on what's going on in your country of origin. Yemenis, Yemeni-Americans, 212-433-WNYC. Our lines are open for you, 212-433-9692, if you're from Yemen or have close ties to Yemen. Waleed, what kinds of things were you writing on yemenportal.net that got your site banned?
Well, actually, Yemen Portal is an aggregator, more or less, a news website that presents the spectrum of views and news items from all over the world concerning Yemen. And it's in English and Arabic. It was founded in 2007 with the idea that Yemenis and those involved or related to Yemen need to learn all the different perspectives of news, not only the limited government-oriented viewpoint, because that already is existing in Yemen through broadcast media, which is monopolized. And also there are severe restrictions on print media. So the Internet is somewhat the refuge for all those who have an alternative point of view. And I made sure that this website would open up and would not single out anyone, regardless of how critical his or her views are. So what happened is that the government was apparently upset with the idea that I do not filter out anti-government content, and they decided to block it altogether.
The New York Times says today that unlike in Tunisia or Egypt, the movement in Yemen may more just be looking for reforms by the government than for President Saleh to resign. Do you agree with that?
Yes. In principle, if we are talking about the opposition, so far they have not had the same high ceiling that people would long for, which is to remove the regime. They are starting, apparently, with the idea that this regime can remain as long as there are certain conditions met. For example, reform in the constitution, change amendments, changes, the electoral law should change as well, and various other issues that would probably help in having a fair election. So they are betting that on the possibility of having those changes without having the regime, you know, abruptly removed. They also claim that this is merely a matter of, you know, time. It would be a matter of time before they actually call for the other extreme demand of removing him from power if he doesn't listen. So they're simply giving him some sort of an ultimatum.
Is the muted call a reflection that the government there is not as bad or repressive as the governments of Tunisia or Egypt?
No, it doesn't reflect that, in my opinion. I know it's quite oppressive in many ways, but I feel that it's perhaps an opposition-driven movement. These demonstrations that took place were led by the opposition, unlike those, you know, spontaneous ones, popular ones in Egypt. So they had to be a bit politically correct, and they wanted to use those, I mean, not reflect some sort of, you know, chaotic movement towards or appeal to people so as they would take power away from Saleh. So they are dealing with it diplomatically, and that does not reflect on whether they think the regime is better or worse.
Is Yemen in danger, in your opinion, of falling into civil war from these protests because of the fractious nature of the regions there that I described before?
I'd say it's in danger of civil war either way. The country is already in a critical situation where the government is unable to control vast areas of the country due to economic difficulties, lack of proper governance, corruption, dealing with weapons and issues of this nature. The tribal structure of Yemen makes it difficult for the government to control it, yet the regime over, you mentioned that Saleh is approaching 30 years. Well, the reality is already surpassed 32 years. Yeah. And the idea is that he has been playing on a role in which he would simply provide those different powerful elements with what they needed over time, and they would be loyal to him, despite the fact that he may actually be violating the law, for example, by allowing them to purchase or use weapons or have their own customary laws or those things. So as time passed, the resources got depleted and the oil is getting depleted, and he is not able to pay enough for those to be satisfied. So he is trying to find compromises. And it was really a failure from the beginning, because the money that has been sent to appease people, those power centers, could have gone to education, could have gone to infrastructure. And as you mentioned, Yemen is one of the poorest countries in the world, yet it has resources. So it's a matter of time before the whole country collapses. And I feel that there's a better chance of having things corrected if a transition takes place now, before it's too late.
Yemeni journalist turned cyber activist Waleed Al-Sakaf, my guest on WNYC. How do you see the strength of Awlaki and Al-Qaeda in Yemen? And could Al-Qaeda or other radical Islamists who don't really want democracy be empowered through this wave of protests?
Well, I'd say that it's a quite controversial topic here. The idea is that Al-Qaeda itself, I mean, one needs to study how it originated in Yemen and who had actually empowered it throughout the years. And if we look closely to the history of Yemen, we'd see that Al-Qaeda had an alliance with the regime. And in fact, many elements of Al-Qaeda had close relations. And clearly, the oppositional leader, Hamid al-Ahmar, had mentioned on TV that members of Al-Qaeda had used to get out of the presidential palace. So you can see that it's not even in the distant past. So the regime had thrived on the internal clashes and violences. And there are cases in which there were, of course, escapees, as you recall, and they are still not investigated. Issues regarding the USS Cole are still mysterious and not fully investigated. So there are many questions that point to the regime's involvement in a way or another. And not many journalists, even in the U.S., are tackling this. They're simply mentioning issues that the regime is an ally of the U.S. without looking carefully and doing their investigative journalism tasks, which I'm familiar with in principle, and looking into the roots of the issue and knowing the hidden links there. And there are many hidden links that may be shocking.
Give me an example of a hidden link.
I'd say, for example, the USS Cole had a case in which there were actual involvement of people within the before the bombing. I mean, officials who had allowed certain facilities to be used. We know this, and I do not have the full details, but one can investigate them. But then the media had not covered this aspect. Then, of course, the issues of how the escapees fled prison by digging such a long tunnel underground, and then later finding that the president had agreed actually to hold talks with certain elements of Al-Qaeda, provided that they be loyal to the regime. So all of those actually are good hints and for us to think about and reflect on and understand that the issue is not merely that there's a group of extremists there, that there is something going on within the official circles.
For people paying close attention these last few weeks, we began to understand that there are very different situations in Tunisia and Egypt and Yemen. Now there are protests in Jordan as well, very, very different yet. How do you see the relationship between the protests in Yemen and those taking place in the other countries?
I'd say all of them have one common denominator, which is injustice, social injustice. I mean, all of those regimes had, of course, privileged certain groups in society, and they have had amassed a massive, wealth through illegal means such as corruption and transferring resource revenues directly to their own pockets, and then transferring them possibly to Europe. So they feel that their hunger shouldn't be justified. The way that they are being ill-treated. I mean, there's one very interesting case in Tunisia where. At the beginning, people would say, oh, this is only to meet a protest for meeting ends, to get bread and so forth. But in reality, they said this is not only for that, it's basically for dignity. Because once you go and complain to an official about something, then you get humiliated, your honor gets broken, and you feel you shouldn't be treated that way. We were supposed to be rulers, and the people needed to be the rulers, not the other way around. And they are now like servants. So the same applies to Yemen and the many forms of oppression, injustices, torture, in various, you name it, you can find all sorts of things in those countries. And people have realized that if Tunisia did it, why shouldn't they do it?
We talked in depth with our last guest about WikiLeaks and these protests in the Arab world. Did you learn anything new about your own country, Yemen, through the WikiLeaks releases?
Oh, yes, certainly. I mean, it's not that they were shocking, but they were confirmed certain beliefs that we had. I mean, people would say, okay, it couldn't be that the U.S. would, let's say, the Yemeni government would have such a precision, or let's say such a mass in terms of hitting certain targets. So they felt that, okay, there is aid from abroad. But then again, they didn't have enough proof. They can't just prove it. So once the WikiLeaks came out, okay, they come back to each other and say, didn't we tell you so? This is what we thought from the beginning. It just confirmed things. It didn't revolutionize the way people think, but it's still helpful because then you can actually confront the rulers and telling them, okay, it's not us who are saying it, it's a third party. So then you need to respond to that. And it's not as easy as, it's not as simply as saying, no, it's all wrong, because these are cables and they are documented. So it's good in terms of igniting, or let's say encouraging people to speak out and confront. But they won't change a lot in reality.
We just have a minute left. We'll be speaking later in the show to a U.S. State Department representative to the Muslim world. What would you like to see the United States do next with respect to Yemen or the region?
I'd say at least don't enforce dictators. Don't rely on them. Don't think that they will help you out. Because I felt very strongly with what Obama once mentioned, saying that we should not assist rule dictators in the world. And we should improve relations with people. So if there's only one lesson that the U.S. should learn, that having dictators as your allies is never a good idea.
Yemeni journalist and cyber activist Waleed Al-Sakaf. He is banned in Yemen, at least his websites are, but you can read them at yemenportal.net and the anti-censorship site blocked.arabiaportal.com. Awidget.net. Thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And listeners, we have a widget on our politics website. It's afreecountry.org, tracking a few of the common search terms and hashtags around protests in Egypt, Yemen, and throughout the Arab world. Also, we have our informal, thoroughly unscientific poll question there today. Do you think that pro-democracy movements in Tunisia, Egypt, and Yemen will lead to long-term change in the Arab world? Go register your response at our politics website, itsafreecountry.org. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, a follow-up Friday segment with the New York Times on language columnist Ben Zimmer on the words used in the State of the Union address, from investments to smoked salmon. Stay tuned.